Hi everyone, it's Josh here. I just wanted to let you know that Lovecraft Esque, the storytelling card game of creeping cosmic horror, is heading for a second edition crowdfunding on Backerkit in October. It's a much improved version of an already great game. If you've been listening to the podcast for a while, you will have heard us playing it, and if you haven't, I recommend you go and check those episodes out. And if you would like to get in on the new edition, there is a link in the show notes, which you can use to sign up for notifications when the campaign launches. Welcome to Black Armada Tales, an actual play podcast. My name is Josh Fox. My pronouns are he and him. I am playing the GM role in this game, and with me I have
Becky Anison playing Lieutenant Emily Loris, also known as Hellcat, Ares playbook, pronouns for both of us is she and her.
Ed Tomlinson playing Dr. Tobias Roy, or aka the Messiah, possibly, top three messiahs of all time, the Scorpio playbook, and our pronouns are he and him.
Hey everyone, I'm Nick Bate. I'm playing Commander Sam Buckley, who halfway through this recording session just turned everything around and is now in an excellent mood. It's the Taurus playbook, and we share he-him pronouns.
And I'm Sue Elliott. I'll be playing Sonia Vega, the Gemini, and our pronouns are both she and her.
And tonight we will be playing Last Fleet. But before we start, what is a role-playing game? Well...
I've always wanted to know that, actually.
Those Cowboys and Indians games that you used to play at school.
Oh, man, you're going old school explanation.
All those times when you couldn't agree on who shot who. We've got rules to resolve that kind of thing now.
Well, so we don't play Cowboys and Indians anymore because that's really culturally insensitive.
Yeah, that's a good point.
That will be covered in the safety section of the game, which I shall be getting to momentarily. Okay, enough. Sorry, I don't know. There was something about the lengthy intros that made me think of that. Buckley sees what you're about to do, and he says, "No, Sonia, don't. It's me, it's Buckley."
Sonia hesitates for a second, and then just smiles and drives the metal, whatever it is, bludgeon, right into Buckley's face.
Yeah. All right. So here's what happens. You drive this bit of kind of chair or whatever it is into Buckley, and his face just sort of caves in like an egg or like a marshmallow that has been crisped up over a fire. Like the crispy edge just sort of goes, and it's all soft and gooey on the inside. But his eyes are still open and looking at you, and his hand grabs onto your wrist, and little kind of threads of something start kind of shooting out of his hand and trying to weave themselves around your hand, right around your wrist, and kind of engulf you. So that's what the weather serious harm is going to be for, is to see whether how you do with that.
Right. So what is the chain of events? Because I have to also pick another engage in battle.
Oh, I didn't even realise that. I would have asked for both. Tell me what the other one is, and then I'll...
I think it's someone or something else gets damaged or destroyed.
What? Why do you pick that one? It's a bit harsh.
Could be a something.
It's true.
You mean the engines?
The chair.
Could
the chair.
Be the engine.
The engines of the Agamemnon.
We already established it was the chair in the fiction. Why are you saying the engine? Why are you giving
ideas
like that?
Because I only see two options, you or the engine.
Or one of the other squiggly beasts, or...
I'm kind of leaving myself exposed, so I could just go that route instead. How much fuckery do we want here? I don't...
So much fuckery.
All right, let's stick with, something gets damaged or destroyed.
God, Dr. Roy just gets destroyed. I can't believe it.
Just damage him.
No, he's destroyed.
Could just be some really harsh words.
Emotionally destroyed. Yeah, okay, actually maybe Dr. Roy does get hurt. I think maybe this is an opportunity to kill two birds with one stone.
Don't use that term. Why are you using that turn of phrase?
Now, first I want to deal with the weather serious harm, please.
Okay. I rolled a 10.
She rolled a 10.
Oh, I can't, but I can't mark pressure.
Oh.
Can I be doing any of this while I'm...
You must mark pressure. Well, you... Yeah, so you've got to mark pressure, so you can have a proper meltdown, right?
You can, but you moment. Can't mark pressure, can you?
Mm. So I don't even... Yeah.
I'm really pleased we've got the game designer running this so we can see how these edge cases play out in real time.
Yeah, it's wonderful, isn't it? So you can never choose an option which would mean you mark pressure is the usual rule. So do you know what? I think that might mean I shouldn't have made you roll to mark.
So I can't, I don't have the option to weather serious.
I think I might just handle it via remove rather than... How are you going to react to this? This thing is kind of grabbing onto you. And as I said, Buckley's face is caved in right in front of you. But he's still looking at you with his lovely Captain Buckley eyes. I'm not sure what Captain Buckley's eyes are like, but they're much nicer than you'd imagine a Korax's eyes to be.
So, Ed, because that was an opportunity, technically, so we could say that you do know about the escape route, because mechanically it's meant to be an opportunity for you.
Okay.
So I think pointed that's it out. Fair. Yeah. What am I doing about these things on my arm and Buckley's eyes in a caved-in face? How close to the kind of spinning mechanism are we?
You're pretty close. So I guess what I'm imagining is there's like a kind of tunnel, a tube thing in the middle, which has Buckley and these other people things in it, and then like around that is rotating the drive.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Is that, am I making sense there? Like, imagine a bobbin with a hole down the middle and a thing that's on the bobbin spinning around and around and around, and you're looking down the hole in the middle. The bit in the middle isn't spinning.
Okay. But I could reach the spinning bit.
Oh, definitely. If you were to stick your arm out now, you could have those fingers off in no time. Really, really quick.
Yeah, sure could, couldn't I? So I could take a big old, just grab a big handful of what's left of Buckley's face and my now what I would consider infected arm and take a foolish action and drive it into the spinning mechanism of the jump drive.
Holy mackerel.
Stone cold legend.
I don't know, can I try and stop her from doing that in any way?
You can.
I mean, yes. Obviously the Buckley face thing I'm completely fine with.
Yeah, that's all
just
fine.
On a global level, in fact.
It's what you're hoping for in many ways.
Still right here.
I don't want to take as much of this Korax goo with me, with my arm as possible.
As I see her doing that, I would like to try and grab her away from doing that and try and get her into the escape tube duct.
All right.
If I've got time, if I'm able to do it, that's if I see it and I've got the time to do it, that's what I would do.
So I think there's two ways this can go. Way number one is, Vega, you don't really feel that strongly about putting your hand in there. And so when Dr. Roy tries to stop you, he just does. But way number two is, you actually really want to shove your hand in there and you're not going to let him stop you. And in that case...
Is this a breaking point thing?
It is my breaking point action, yeah.
Sounds like you want to do it then.
I do quite want to do it.
So you'd have to roll to shake him off, and he would roll to interfere, which he will be quite good at because of your relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Gosh darn it. Okay.
If I don't, then I'll feel bad and give you a magic hand.
I rolled a 7. Where does that leave my... Assuming Ed makes this roll... Where does that leave my breaking point action? Do I need to do a different one or find a way to fulfill
it? Let's see what happens. I feel like trying to shove your hand in the mechanism might be a foolish action in and of itself.
Yeah, it's kind of if you really don't care what the outcome is. Yeah,
yeah, there's going to be some emotional fallout for everybody involved.
Maybe it just takes a finger, something.
Yeah, or something. Let's see. So
just the tip.
Right, so interfere, is it?
Correct.
You get a +2, I think, because of our relationships.
With another character, mark pressure and roll warm, oh sharp.
No, you can roll your relationship.
Okay, so it's just 2d6 +2. It's 6. with the plus two. Sorry.
Holy butts. Right.
Sorry. That was that's not what I planned to have.
Pressure, Ed.
Oh, not pressure, and the XP.
Can you spend pressure on it?
It's an asterisk move, so you can't.
So do I get, because it's marked pressure, I take it, and it's an asterisk move, I just get one XP, right?
Correct, yeah.
Okay. Well, there's every cloud.
You might want to veil the description of what comes next, Josh.
You know, it's rare, but I think Dr. Roy feels slightly responsible for this situation.
It's a fleeting feeling, I'm sure.
Well, yeah.
Roll to shake it off.
Okay, this is bad, I warn you.
Okie dokie.
This situation has gotten out of control even more quickly than one might have imagined in the circumstances. So I think several things happen quite quickly, one after the other, or at the same time. The tendrils coming out of Captain Buckley's cocoon start to envelop your hand, and so you go to thrust it into the mechanism, hoping to take the Korax stuff with you. Dr. Roy sees what you're about to do and tries to grab you, and indeed he does grab onto you, but it's not enough, and your hand goes into the mechanism. There's a blinding flash, because this isn't just a physical piece of metal that's spinning round and round, it's the drive. And of course the piece of metal that you had in your hand goes in there too. And pieces of shredded bits of metal come flying out at high velocity and hit the both of you.
And the Korax.
And the Korax. And everything. Yes. You're both knocked backwards. And you are knocked unconscious, Vega.
Reasonable.
You lose consciousness from
everything.
From everything that's happened. You can reset your pressure to two.
Oh.
So that's good. The good
yay.
News.
Yay.
Dr. Roy, you are, your vision is sort of spinning and blurring. You've been hit by several pieces of hot, sharp metal.
Mm-hmm.
And you look down at yourself and you see that you're not bleeding. Your flesh seems scarred and pocked, but there isn't blood coming out. It's like, you know those self-healing mats that you can cut into and they'll seal back up again? It's a bit like that. Like you can cut, sort of see the texture of your body where it's been cut open, but it's not like flesh under there, it's something else.
Okay, I sort of pat myself down anxiously over at Vega.
You might be about to pat yourself down, then you see a white figure who must have been sneaking up on you this whole time come down with its hands over you and try and gently, quite gently, tries to grab hold of you. It's a human-shaped figure. It doesn't have a face, and it's trying to physically grab hold of you. What do you do?
I grab it by the face, and I say, I'm in charge here, and I push it back.
Okay.
Can I call it on the shit?
You're trying to call it on the shit? No, no. I think it sort of steps back and holds out its hands in what seems like a sort of placatory gesture.
Okay.
And it seems to be waiting for you to do something. You look over and you see there's another one and it's trying to pick up Vega.
Okay, now this could be awkward. This is going to be difficult to explain.
That's what you're worried about?
She needs medical attention, if that's what I'm getting the impression that they're trying to help.
Yes, it nods. And the one that tried to grab you goes over and tries to take her feet. They're like trying to pick her up, one at each end.
Okay. Are they forming into a proper structured humanoid shape at this point? Or are they still going to be blobby?
They're not exactly blobby. They're just, you know, those wooden mannequin things. You know, they've got no face. They're just there for sort of posing and practicing art on. They've got that same sort of slightly skinny arms and legs vibe going on, and obviously featureless face, and they're white.
Yeah.
But they don't look, you know, they look roughly the right proportions to be human. And no, currently they're not, they don't seem to be forming into a particular face or a particular person.
Okay, in which case, I point at the vent and say, get her to a medical bay. We'll get her out of here, I guess. I'm trying to, yeah, exactly. I can't, like, reveal their, but I'm also trying to make use of them.
Okay. No, that's fine. I think they're compliant, and they pick her up, and you've presumably indicated the vent that you'd been told, the opportunity vent.
The opportunity vent, yeah. It's got the words opportunity over the top.
Right, exactly. So they'll try and take her towards the vent, and yeah, what are you doing? You're like, you told them to do that. Are you going to go with them?
Yeah, so there's lots of factors. If they were human formed enough, I would try and get out the main door with them and say that we were all trapped in there. But if they're not formed enough, then I'm going to have to go through the vent. And then if I go through the main door, then it's going to look weird. They're going to be like, where's Sonya Vega, blah, blah, blah. So I think it's going to be them gooping their way through the tunnel, carrying her. And then I'll follow behind and direct them to somewhere, I guess. So I guess we need to be deposited somewhere, and they can then kind of hide somewhere in the fence, maybe.
I'm trying to think where this is going to end. This is quite messy. They're doing what you want.
There's a cover something up move, right?
There is. Yeah, that's right.
That's a good point. Maybe that's what I'm trying to do here. But like the whole drive room's completely food. So I guess let me explain what I'm probably going to try and do, right? I want Vega to be out into a point where she can receive medical attention. I want it to look like we escaped by ourselves. I want it to look like we destroyed the Korax in the room, but also these two Korax samples could potentially be still somewhere on the ship that I need to locate again or reconvene with, or cover them up in some way, their existence.
I think you can use the vent to get directly to the medical bay without right. having to go through the corridors, and you can come out of a vent in the medical bay so that you're not, no one's even seen you go in, if you see what I mean.
Yeah, or yeah, come out, me and her coming out, because I guess I wouldn't want them to come out of the vent. I'd kind of carry the remainder of the way.
I think they deposit Sonya quite gently again down on a like a bay, and one of them reaches over and holds her wrist with its hand, and again you see this thing where like tendrils are coming out of the hand and trying to wrap themselves around the wrist. What do you do?
Oh man, that's going to take even more explaining. I think I'm going to, oh man, this is really, because I could do with a co-conspirator, but that's, do you want to play a Scorpio playbook? No. You ever thought about the Scorpio playbook?
Have you considered treachery as a career?
Yes. I stop it and say, no, this isn't the time.
It looks at you, and insofar as a completely blank-faced creature can look puzzled, you think it maybe looks a little puzzled. You can see under its hand the flesh of Vega's damaged arm starting to extend, and it almost looks like it's growing back.
All right, well, it looks like I've got no choice but to just let nature take its course, in that case.
Well, you can tell it's it. You can, if you insist on it stopping.
Oh, I don't know. Is there a role to decide?
It's called the Harvey Two-Face method.
Okay, I'm going to go evil green light, and I'm going to step away and let it reconstruct your hand.
Cool. In that case, I think Sonya, you're going to wake up in sickbay with your hand completely fine.
Is this later, presumably?
Presumably, but you were unconscious, so you don't have any sense of how much time has passed. I don't know. I'd like to know whether, Dr. Roy, whether you're still there with her, whether you make yourself scarce.
No, I think I'm going to be there. I think I'm going to be there, even though I have no idea what I'm going to say. Can't they make it look a bit scrappy? you know, a couple of really bad suture scars, like Frankenstein's monster.
Is it just my hand, or do I still have, like, shrapnel wounds, or am I fully healed?
I think you will have some shrapnel wounds.
Okay.
And, indeed, Dr. Roy, you may have dressed those. I don't know. You've got medical kit here. Obviously, you couldn't really have done anything about a hand that had been literally shoved into a machine, but that's been dealt with.
Yeah, I'm going to be there. I'm going to be shining light into your eyes as you wake, come to consciousness.
I think the two creatures will have left through the vent unless you tell them not to.
Yeah, I tell them to leave if they are just standing around.
No, I think as soon as they've done their job, they
just go.
They make to fuck off, basically. So if you, as long as you don't say wait, stay here, they leave.
Yeah, I'm not taking the heat for this. You guys are.
Yeah, perfect. So yeah, I guess you can have like done some first aid on the bits of shrapnel. This is not like massive pieces of metal that have sheared through you or anything like that. You will probably have some small scars.
That's cool.
But you come too, and Dr. Roy is sat, I'm guessing, next to the bed.
Yeah, with a little like medical tablet thing, making notes.
So I think I kind of slowly come to and then sort of gasp and try to sit up quite rapidly in a kind of panic and immediately look at my stump and I'm amazed to see that there is an entire hand still attached to my arm. And I just kind of look at it and sort of keep turning it over, looking at the palm, looking at the back of my hand and kind of frowning. And then she realizes how much her head is absolutely pounding and sits back a little bit more on the bed, sees Dr. Roy and says, what happened?
It's a touch and go there, Vega. You made a lucky escape. That head wound, quite serious. Lucky I got you to medical bay quickly enough.
I
check your pulse randomly and give you some painkillers.
And the Korax, that's what it was, wasn't it? In the room, that's what we saw.
Yes. Yes, your heroics, I believe, stop them.
But I put my hand in there. Didn't I?
I feel like you should roll to cover up, Dr. Roy.
Yeah.
And probably you should roll to interfere, assuming you're trying to see through this charade.
Why not?
Cover up. Plus smooth. Yeah, so I think basically I'm saying, well, maybe not gone. I mean, what would be the most realistic, like, at least we subdued them enough to get out of there. And it caused enough damage that I think they were sufficiently removed from the room, is what I'm saying.
So
whatever I think is convincing enough.
They're contained.
Well, this is why I'm making you roll the dice, really, because like, it seems unfair for you to try and role play through deciding whether you believe this slightly ridiculous story.
Yeah, I mean, I'm also saying that she took a blow to the head.
Yeah.
So
it's a weird situation. Like, you saw your hand got removed, but it's not.
Yeah,
I mean, would you though? Would you not? Like, you'd blank out.
Yeah,
before
it would
you,
be a
do you know
split
what I mean?
Second.
It'd be very traumatic, black square of nothingness. Yeah. I think when
just
you think
a
back
little
at it.
Bit, little intermission sign in your mind.
Yeah, right.
Are you going to interfere?
I am. Yeah, I just want to see what I'm up against first.
Well, not very much. Three.
Three.
Oh my god!
Holy lord!
So this is bad news for Roy.
Well, I rolled a 7, so that's a 9 altogether, isn't it?
Yeah, well, it's another one of those situations where you didn't necessarily have to roll it. So if you don't want to mark the pressure,
oh, that's
you don't
a good point,
to.
Yeah. Because he'd already fucked it.
Fucked it up.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think, like, it's kind of up to you to roleplay how you feel about this. I feel like his cover-up has failed.
Yes.
So you're under no obligation to believe a word of it. On the other hand, you've actually got no evidence of what the heck happens.
No, just a deep gut feeling that she's learned to trust over many decades.
Yeah, it does. It definitely doesn't add up. And like how we've just magically, I'm like really relaxed and uninjured as well.
Not even ruffled. Sonia.
So it's probably slightly creepy. In fact, she probably comes off a bit creepy.
Sonia kind of narrows her eyes and looks at the doctor and goes, My head does hurt, actually.
Yeah, you're lucky to be alive.
We both are, I think.
Yes, yes. I was fortunate enough to be able to avoid the shrapnel. I wasn't close enough, I don't think.
I am going to have the medical officer come in at this point. I think the Agamemnon medical officer basically arrives for work, so the door opens, and you're both sort of sat there, and this, I guess I'm going to say it's a man, a surprisingly young man.
They don't even know, as the doctor turned up, and we just so happened to be in the med bay.
Yeah, exactly. He's like, oh, hello.
I say, ah, at last. As you can see, the patient is in a stable condition, and I hand my notes over to him.
Right. You know, you could have called the buzzer to let me know. I would have come up. But what seems to be the problem? Sprained ankle? He looks at you.
I think if you just read the notes, I think it'll explain everything.
Right. Yes, I'll have a look at the notes. Oh, yes, Dr. Roy, isn't it?
Yes, the Dr. Roy, yes.
I'm a bit of a fan, actually. Yes, I read some of your research. Anyway, I think I'm going to draw a line under the scene there, unless there's something to do.
Yeah, so I make my excuses and get out of there.
Sonia says, Doctor, come and let's meet up when I'm out of sick bay.
Sure. I think I owe you a drink or two.
Well, it sounds like I owe you all the drinks, actually, but later.
Yes, later. Get some rest.
And Sonia lies back on her bed, just tapping her fingers on her completely fine, no worries hand.
Thanks for listening to Black Armada Tales. We've been playing Last Fleet by me, Josh Fox. You can find more information about Last Fleet and the rest of our stuff in the show notes. And don't forget, we've got Lovecraft Desk 2nd Edition coming to crowdfunding on Backerkit very soon, and there's a link to sign up for notifications about that also in the show notes. See you next time. There's been a conversation on Twitter, which is still going amazingly, about the question of what the word a couple of blank means. And nobody say anything yet because I want to test out people's reaction. So the debate is around whether a couple of blank means a defined number of blank or whether it means something more general, like a number range of some kind, or perhaps even an indefinite number. All right. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to count to three, and when after three, I want everybody to say what they think a couple of blank would mean. All right. Ready?
Do you mean in number? Do you want a number?
You can say a range, whatever you like. Yeah.
Okay.
1, 2, 3, 2.
Range.
Range?
I'd say, yeah, but like, it's basically two or three.
No,
like,
that's
it's
a few.
Small range, but it's...
No, a few is three. A few is three.
Exactly. So you have a couple, then you have a few.
Or more, 3 to 5, yeah.
Then you have some, then you have loads.
Well, I've got a slightly more nuanced answer, which I think that if somebody was asking me, I think that you can use a couple informally where you mean a small number, but I don't really care how many. Or you can use couple in a formal sense to mean I need a couple of those specific things, in which case I would give you two of them. Or you could be like hand waving and saying, well, it's a couple of stuff, and where you're not really being very specific and you kind of don't care if it's three or two. But if you said to me, can you get me a couple of pineapples? I would bring you two pineapples and no more.
Yeah, I'm not lending you a couple of quid, so that's for sure.
Yeah, if you said a couple of quid, that would mean 2 quid.
Would that mean a few quid to you, Sue? Up to 20 or 30 pounds, possibly.
Well, a couple means two. Like, I'm going to introduce you to this couple I know. Not bring six people along.
Well, that's why I said a couple of thing, because like, if you say a couple, that's much more.
A couple of people.
A couple of people, yeah.
Yeah. I feel it's very object dependent. So I agree with the quids and the pineapples, but if you're talking about like little oranges, that could mean three. If I could hold them in one.
A couple of little oranges.
A couple of little oranges, that would probably be three oranges for me.
Okay, I'm going to look up the dictionary, see if there's anything about oranges.
This is so if you ask for a couple of oranges and I brought you three, thinking, gosh, I'm generous. She asked for two, and I'm going to give her an extra one. You'd be like, yeah, it's just what I asked for.
Yeah, exactly what I asked for.
But if you brought Sue three pineapples when she asked for a couple of pineapples, she'd be like, what
I don't
the fuck
have
is
space
this extra
for three pineapples.
Who is this idiot?
See the size of my kitchen.
There were large oranges. Would it
two
still...
oranges.
Okay. Let's see. What about...
I can do this all night.
Grapes.
Yeah, three. Maybe even four with grapes. They're so small.
Peas.
Okay. Let's just see. Pink lady apples.
Two.
They're quite expensive as well. Like, if I asked for a couple of pink ladies and somebody brought me three, I'd be like, I don't
right.
have to pay for pink ladies because they're like five.
We've got pink,
each.
Pink lady apples. You're two. Okay. Braeburn.
Nice.
What?
Braeburn.
Are they big Braeburns or little Braeburns?
Well, this is what I'm testing, Nick. You've ruined the test now.
Kittens.
I want three kittens, please. Bring me a couple of kittens, and by that I mean three kittens.
Lemons.
Two.
Limes.
Three.
Oh, man. I need a chart.
Tennis balls.
Is there not a rule that we can
use? I'm trying to work out where the cutoff is.
The rule is ask Sue, she'll tell you the answer. It may be different tomorrow.
Tennis balls, three.
Onions.
If you were going to the pub, if you said to Stu, I'm going to the pub for a couple of drinks.
Ah.
That's three drinks.
Oh, fuck yeah.
That might be the only time that a couple is more than two.
I'm going out for a couple of drinks is one of the rare times where I might not mean exactly yes. two. Because it's like, I'm going out for a couple of drinks, you know, I might have...
That's what I mean when I say there's kind of an informality where, like, you don't really care if it's two or three.
It's not like the word a couple is a particularly formal word. Because if you wanted to be formal, you would say two.
No, I don't mean it's a formal word. But you would never say, I'm going down the pub for two
exactly
drinks.
Two.
Exactly two drinks. You wouldn't
say
that.
You found a gap in the argument of the two.
Contextually, it's obvious that you don't mean something specific. But that's only because you just wouldn't be that specific about drinks.
Because no one would believe you if you said, I'm going down for precisely two drinks.
You would have to say, I am going down the pub and I am going to have precisely two drinks. Because even if you said two drinks... People will be like, "Why? They can't possibly mean
what? What can he mean?"
I'm just hoping when this episode drops, Sue, for the next like week, your social media is just people saying things at you.
Yeah, just saying fruits.
Yeah. Oh, ask Sue. Create a special Twitter account for you.
You'll be thanking me when we get that sweet fruit box sponsorship we've been angling for.
With precisely three grapes in it.
I looked it up in the dictionary. I was convinced it was exactly two and that any other meaning was basically wrong. And I looked it up and it turns out it did originally mean exactly two, but only for an incredibly brief period of time. And within like a couple of decades.
And one day, someone brought home three pineapples. Change the course of history.
Yeah, basically.
It was probably Sir Walter Raleigh coming back from the South America with three potatoes.
No, it was somebody that went out for a couple of pints and came back massively drunk.
Yeah.
That's what it was.